But let's go ahead and get into the word, because I know that's what you're here for. Amen. Hallelujah. I often say that the greatest two miracles in the Bible, the greatest two miracles in the Word of God, are conception without consummation and resurrection without resuscitation. Amen. I'm going to say that again. I often say that the greatest two miracles in the Word of God. Now, you've got to know that there's countless, there's hundreds of miracles in the Bible that took place. But the greatest two miracles in the Word of God is conception without consummation, which simply means there was a conception. There was a virgin conception. There was a virgin birth without man's involvement. The Holy Spirit caused something to happen on the inside of a young woman named Mary, and she birthed forth something that was supernatural, amen? There was a supernatural event that took place in her body, which would bring forth a supernatural king into the world, amen? Conception without consummation. But also the other greatest miracle is related to this one, is connected to this one, and that is resurrection without resuscitation. What are you saying? What I mean is that somebody arose from the dead without man's assistance. You see, we depend on medical experts. We depend on medicine. We depend on those who have gone to school and who have dedicated their lives to maintaining our health and to advising us how to maintain our health. And then when we get close to the point of death, they have been trained and they have been educated on how to maintain our life and how to resuscitate us. But there was in history a resurrection without resuscitation. There was an event that took place. Not only did this man die, but he was also buried. So no, there was in human eyes, there was no hope. It was all said and done. It was all finished. According to man's eyes. According to man's plans. But God. You know that when there's a but God, there's something else that's going to take place. But God said, he's not done. God said, on the third day, right? And we know that there's arguments about the third day. But we say on the third day that he did not stay in the grave. That he came up, that he rose, and that he still lives. And so that is what we're going to spend some time talking about today. You know, neither of these two miracles required man's involvement, but both of these miracles benefited mankind as a whole. Today is the day where we focus on the latter, the resurrection without resuscitation. And some celebrate this day by declaring that he is risen, and some celebrate this day by saying he got up, right? However you say it, the fact remains is that our entire faith, all of our principles, all of our practice, all of our worship, everything that we come into the building and outside of the building, all of our ceremonies, everything that we do, our practices, everything that we do is predicated on the fact that Jesus, who claimed to be the Savior of mankind, who prophesied and claimed that he was the Messiah, the one who said that before Moses was, I am. The one that says, the one who claimed that he was God's son. The one who claimed that he was the physical manifestation of the invisible God. The one who claimed that no man was taking his life, but that he was laying down his life for all mankind. It was the one who claimed that he was the lamb slain before the foundations of the world. This was the one that was betrayed by Judas. This is the one that was tortured by the Roman soldiers. This was the one that was murdered, and this is the one that was declared dead and buried. But our whole belief system is predicated and founded on the belief that he did not remain in the grave, but that he still lives, that he rose, and that he still lives even today. And if you want to know what the Christian faith is all about, that's it. The Christian faith is based on the fact that God sent his only son to die for our sins, to take our place, to take our punishment, to stand in our place, to receive our punishment, but to also rise up and to be our Savior. The reality is, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then everything that we believe is pointless and futile. Have you ever spent some time just taking the time to think about if what would happen if Christ did not rise from the dead? Have you ever just taken time to think about what state we would be in? What would be our life? What would our life be about if Christ had not risen from the dead? Have you ever thought about what church would be like if Jesus did not rise from the dead? Would we still have church? Will we still come in fellowship? Will we still have the music? Will we still have the band? Will we still have the ceremony? Will we still have all the events? What would church be like if Jesus didn't get up? Paul references this in 1 Corinthians 15. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul poses this question to the Corinthian church. Paul comes to the Corinthian church, and he has to set some, as an apostle, he has been sent to set some things in order, to get some things back in order. Because Paul had spent some significant time with the people in this church, and he had spent some significant time with the leaders, teaching them and preaching the foundations of our faith, to preaching that Christ had died and that he had risen from the dead, and that he was the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world, and that he was the prophesied Messiah. He had spent some time with this group of people, letting them know the foundations of our faith. But there had been some who were part of the circumcision party. There were some that were part of a former belief that said that there was no resurrection of the dead, that there was no such thing as the resurrection of the dead. I believe it was the Sadducees that believed that there was not a such thing as a resurrection from the dead. And they had filtered into the church, and they had begun to preach this doctrine. And there were new believers and new converts who were torn between these two opinions, who were torn between these two doctrines. They believed that Christ was their Savior. They believed that God had sent his Son. They believed that this was the prophesied King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But someone had came in and deceived them and said that there was no such thing as a resurrection of the dead. And so Paul says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your entire belief system fails. Chapter 15, he says, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Paul says, I want to remind you about what I told you concerning Christ and his resurrection and your belief and your faith in that resurrection. He said, and I ask that you would keep these things in your mind, constantly keep this in the front of your mind, unless you have believed in vain. Unless this was a game to you, unless this was just some story that I told, he said, that it's in vain. For I delivered unto you the first of all that which I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. Paul not only says, I preach to you this gospel or this doctrine, or I preach to you this fact that Christ rose from the dead. And he says, but someone has come in and caused you to believe that there's no resurrection of the dead. He says, however, there are over 500 witnesses who saw the man who was once dead now alive. He said, there's plenty of witnesses, he said, and some of them are still living today. You probably ran into a few of these folks and that told you, I saw the resurrected Christ. I saw the nail prints in his hands. I saw the injury on his side. I saw him in the flesh. 500 witnesses. And after that, he says, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Paul says, whether it was myself or another one of the 12 apostles or one of the other 500 witnesses, he said, whoever it was, he said, it really doesn't matter who preached this message to you. He said, but whoever it was who preached this message to you, that Christ lived, that died, and that he rose from the dead, he said, you believed it. He says, you planted your faith on that fact, on the belief that Christ rose again. He said, however, someone has come in and caused you to second guess whether or not Christ has risen from the dead. Verse 12, he said, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised up not, if so be that the dead rises not. For if the dead rises not, then is not Christ raised? If Christ be not raised, then your faith is in vain, and ye are still yet in your sins. Why is that important? If you are still in your sins, then you are still bound to the law of sin and death. And if you are still bound to the law of sin and death, then here's the message. Then hell is still your home. If Christ has not risen, then we are still in our sins. There was no mediator between man. There was no blood sacrifice. There was no replacement of your sins. If Christ did not rise from the dead, and I want to tell you today that there are even those who are here in today, present world, causing you to believe and leading you to believe that Christ has not risen. But I want to let you know today that Christ has risen from the dead. There has been not only witnesses, but we bear witness. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit bears witness in our spirit that Christ has risen, that we not only is he born, but he's the firstborn among many brethren. You and I, those of us who have put our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Paul goes on to say that if Christ has not risen, not only are you still in your sins, but those who died believing in Jesus have perished and have believed in vain. That their entire life believing in this resurrected Christ was all a lie. If Christ is not risen. And the truth is, Elder Jerry, that if Christ is not risen, then you done paid a lot of unfruitful tithe. If Christ is not risen, then you then came and got your hands laid on you for no reason at all. If Christ is not risen, I don't care how hard you pray for healing, healing will not manifest. If Christ has not risen, I don't care what you celebrate on Christmas or what you celebrate on Easter. If Christ has not risen, then we celebrate in vain. If Christ has not risen, then you missed a lot of good Sunday football games. If Christ has not risen, then everything that we've done concerning our faith has been in vain. But Paul says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man cometh death, by man cometh also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Paul goes on to make the claim that surely Christ has risen from the dead. And not only that, but if Christ has risen from the dead, then he shall also quicken your mortal bodies. If Christ has risen from the dead, then that means we have hope that when we die, we shall also be risen with him. The Bible actually says that when Christ dies, it says we rose with him. And it also declares that on the day that he returns, that those who are sleeping, those who have died, will also be rose from the dead. And we shall all be caught up with him. And that not only shall we be caught up with him, but we shall be made like him. A new resurrected body. You think this body is nice? Think about the body you're going to get in heaven. Think about the body that he has prepared for you. An imperishable body, a body that cannot rot, a body that cannot decay. You see, when Adam sinned, we became subject to futility. We became subject to sickness and death and disease in the grave. But when Christ rose up, we became subject to life and life more abundantly. You see, when Christ got up, when Christ rose from the dead, it gave us access to healing, to be set free, healed, and delivered in every area of our life. So that when we receive Christ, we not only receive being reborn in our spirit, man, but that we can, it says, Paul says, I pray that your spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved. So when Christ has risen from the dead, then that gives us hope that death is not the final say-so. Death is not the end. You can rest assured that if you have put your trust in a resurrected Christ, that he will also raise you up. Amen. Come on. I need you to believe that today, and I need you to celebrate the fact that when you die, your life is not over. You're just transitioning over to a greater body, to a greater life, to a place that has been prepared for you. But although we think about the future life, the life after death, my question today for you is, now that we have an understanding that Christ rose from the dead, what will you do with the resurrection? What will you do with his resurrection? You see, we come to church on Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, and we celebrate the fact that Christ has risen from the dead. And we take joy in that fact. But the question is, what will you do with that resurrection? What will you do with the information that you have, knowing that Christ has risen from the dead? How will you respond? What responsibility do you have to live a life that is worthy and that honors his sacrifice? Now that you know that he got up, will you get up? Now that you know he has risen, will you rise up? You see, the question is not what has Jesus done, but what will you do? Because Jesus has done his part. But now that you know what he has done, the question is what will you do with Christ's resurrection? You see, when we begin to hear the stories of all of the witnesses and all of those who saw Christ, the resurrected Christ, with their eyes, and they spent time with them, and they begin to be taught by Christ even the things of the kingdom, there were those who believed and knew and saw that the stone had been rolled away, and they knew that his body wasn't there, so they sought to cover up the fact that he had risen. And so they sought to cover up the story. They sought to cover up the fact that he was no longer in the grave. So they sought and they spent a lot of time trying to hush these Christians up from preaching this message that Christ had died, because they knew that a resurrected Christ, they knew that the man who said that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, they knew that if they could not find his body in the grave, that he was who he said he was, despite their efforts to destroy his name, despite their efforts to destroy his life. The fact that he rose from the dead declared and confirmed who he was, and that would change the course of history. And so they sought and they fought to keep it a secret. And they sought and they fought to hide this fact. But how many of you know that the truth will eventually come out somehow? The truth always have a way of getting out. The truth always has a way of coming and revealing itself to those who have an ear to hear and eyes to see. And so the resurrected Christ sends his disciples and he says, not many days from now, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will become my witnesses. And you shall preach this message in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all other parts of the world. He says, I want you to preach this message of the kingdom, and I want you to let them know that I live. And that because I live, they shall also live. And that you shall also live. My question today is, what will you do with this message? What will you do with the fact that you know that Christ is risen from the dead? I heard this last night. I heard someone say that Jesus is the only person in history who made an appointment beyond the grave and kept it. He's the only one who said, this is what I'm going to do. And beyond the grave, he kept his promise. Not Buddha, not Krishna, not any other God can make that claim. Not any other religion can make that claim. That the one that they place their faith on is still living today. You see, they found Buddha's body. You see, they found everybody else's body, but they haven't found his body. 2,000 years we've been searching for Jesus' body, and it's nowhere to be found. 2,000 years they've been looking for signs that his body was still there, and it's nowhere to be found. For 2,000 years they've been trying to debunk the claims, but the claims are not there, but the evidence is not there. Why? Because he is risen. He is who he said he was. He done what he said he was going to do. He kept his promise to the end. And not only did he keep his promise to the end, but he is keeping his promise until the end. Whatever promise he has for you, he will keep it to the end. You can guarantee that if he rose from the dead like he said he was going to do, that he will do the same thing for you. Whatever promises he has made for your life, whatever he has purposed for your life, whatever he has prophesied into your life, the fact that he rose from the dead, the fact that he did what he said he was going to do, he will do the same thing for you. You see, if you ever question whether Jesus is credible, go check the grave. I think I'll say that again. If you want to know if Jesus is credible, go and check the grave. Because if he's still in the grave, then he's not a credible source. But if his body's nowhere to be found, then I think I can trust him. If the body is nowhere to be found, I think I can trust the one who says, I was dead, but now I'm alive. But the question once again is, what will you do with Christ's resurrection? How will you now live your life? What choices will you make? What will you do with that message? What is your responsibility now that you know that Christ lives? will you rise up and you live? There's a scripture that says, arise and shine, for your light has come. You see, what I believe is I believe that because Christ rose, we have a responsibility to rise. I'm going to say that again. I believe that because Jesus rose, we have a responsibility to rise up. We have a responsibility to preach this message to every corner of the world. We have the responsibility to share this message, to tell everybody that we can that Jesus lives and that he lives forevermore. And I want you to know today on this Resurrection Sunday, I want you to know today that if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you do not know this Jesus that we're talking about as your personal Savior, if you do not have a relationship with this Jesus that we're talking about, you can change that today. The Bible says that we were all born in sin and we were shaped in iniquity. And it says that the wages of sin is death, but that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through his son the world might be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. You see, today, because he lives, I can also live. There's a song that they used to sing when I grew up, Because He Lives. And I don't know if you can play it, but I'm going to ask you to try. Of course he can. And if you know the words, I'm going to ask you to sing with me. Would you mind singing with me, Elder Jerry? Because there's so much that took place the day that he rose. The Bible, the psalmist says that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And because I know that he holds the future, life is worth living just because he lives. Think about that. Life is worth living simply because he lives. And I've done this before, but I'm going to do it again. And I need you to confirm with me what you hear. Life is worth living because I got a raise on my job. No. Life is worth living because I have that house that I want. No. Life is worth living because I have that car that I want. Life is worth living because my finances are like I want. No, life is worth living, what does the song says? Just because he lives. If you're battling something in your life, if you have been questioning your life and you have been questioning the meaning of life, if you've even been battling depression, if you've been battling anxiety, if you've been battling anything in your body, physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever it may be, if you have been battling something in your life, and maybe you've even contemplated giving it all up, maybe you've even contemplated committing suicide, maybe you've even considered throwing in the towel to say, I want to let you know today. Listen, I want you to know today, if you're on the edge, if you're second guessing, if you're about to give up, hear me today that your life is worth living. Why? Because he lives. You don't have to give up. You don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to turn your life over to death. You can live. You can have life, and you can have it more abundantly. Not because of anything I've said, not because of anything I've done, but you can live your life abundantly because he lives. So how will you respond to the resurrection? What will you do with Jesus' resurrection? How will you respond? What will you commit yourself to doing on today as a witness that he lives? As a witness that he lives. You see, you have a testimony to tell. Christ has shown up in your life somewhere, somehow. Who can testify of that? Christ has shown up some way, somehow in your life. You have evidence, you have proof that Jesus has done something in your life, that he has made a way in your life, that he has come through for you somehow. How many of you can testify that he lives? Not because you saw him with your eyes. Jesus tells, I think he tells Thomas, Thomas says, I won't believe until I see him with my own eyes. And so Jesus literally walks through a wall, comes on the other side, and says, now what, Thomas? He says, you see the nail prints in my hand. He said, put your hand in my side. And it said that when Thomas saw the resurrected Christ, it said that he fell on his face and he began to worship him. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Thomas, because you have seen me. He said, but even more blessed are those who believe and have not seen. You see, you don't have to have seen Jesus with your eyes to know that he lives. The fact that you should have been dead and gone, but you're still here today. The fact that the doctor said I was diagnosed with this. The doctor said I was diagnosed with that. When they told me I wouldn't graduate, when they told me I would be have a permanent learning disability, when they told me I'd never go to college, when they told me I'd never have a family, I have a witness that Christ lives, because not only did I live, but I have conquered everything they said I wouldn't do. So I don't have to see Jesus with my eyes, because he's already shown up in my life. How has he shown up in your life? And what will you do with the resurrected Christ? Will you be a witness on today? Will you be a witness on today? Will you share your testimony? Will you let someone know that I have not seen him with my eyes, but I've felt him and I've experienced him in my life? I know for a fact that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on my behalf. Because when I should have been in trouble, he delivered me out of this situation. When I should have been serving 7 years in prison, I was let go. I know that he lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Come on, sing it with us.